is something that I want to touch on and something that I want to move forward. I think we're in a culture of where we like our two-minute noodles. We like to know that we come to church, it's 2 hours, and then we go home. But when I look at Scripture and I look at just how the people sat with the apostles, even walked with Jesus, the way that the word came and the way that the word was handled wasn't a two-minute or two-hour session. It was we sitting and we talking and we are hearing what's being said. And in that, there's times for us to be able to, for those words to wash over us in the meeting. And it is sometimes, I think, a sad thing for me that there's so much on my heart for us as a people, is that we come together and we only have this amount of time. And that's why it's so important. That's why our Sundays are so important. That's why our Wednesdays are so important. That's why our Monday to Saturdays, getting into each other's homes, praying, remembering what God is doing in our lives, reminding one another, spurring each other on of what God is doing in our lives, is so important. That's why filling that gap between brother and brother, between sister and sister, is so important for us as a people. Because even though we feel sometimes like the 2 hours that we spend on a Sunday and the 2 hours we spend on a Wednesday is too much, the reality is it's not enough. It's not enough. It's not enough to drown out the noise of the world. It's like the world is wanting our attention around every corner. When you wake up in the morning, at least for me, I've got 50 to 100 WhatsApp messages. I've got emails. You've got news, things that's coming to you. So it's like, since you wake up in the mornings, there's something that's saying, I want your attention. I want your attention. And so for this couple of minutes that I have with you, I really ask that you give me your attention. But not so much that you have, that I have your attention, but more that you in this moment position your heart and giving God your attention. Because the thing, I mean, I was crying and sobbing here this morning, is the thing that is true is that God acquires all of our attention. He's worthy. Sorry. He's so worthy. Amen. We've been speaking about this, speaking about how beautiful He is, how wonderful He is, how His heart for us is to really love Him with everything inside of us. We've been speaking about it. We've been like talking about it. We've been doing whatever we can to make sure that we as a people catch that heart. That we realize like He's important. It's like He's the most important thing that is out there for us in this life. I really believe with everything inside of me that this morning, that God wants to come and give each and every one of us a capacity. He wants to enlarge our capacity to love Him. That's why Jesus died on the cross, is that we may come before Him holy and blameless, seeing Him and being able that as we see Him, to know that He is good, to know that He is merciful, to know that He is gracious. And through that place, that those things wash over us, and from that place that we bring it back to Him and say, God, You are worthy. God, You are beautiful. God, here's my life. It's Yours. And so this morning, I was up from early this morning, just trying to hear God and find God in this. And I was quite tired, and so I stood up and out of our room and went and I laid on the couch in our living room. And as I laid on my couch, I just, all of a sudden, because I thought, God knows my heart. I'm up early. I mean, come on, it's 4:30 and I'm up, you know. I was lying on the couch because, I'm still going to speak to God. I'm still going to converse with Him. And I just felt the Holy Spirit say to me, do you think that your position is important? I'm like, what do you mean? Do you think it matters to me whether you lie down or you stand on your knees? I thought, no. I mean, God knows my heart. And I just felt kind of like that gentle, silent rebuke of actually, you know what? Your position is very important to me. And in that moment, it's like whether I was tired or not, I was awake. Now for me, on my knees is a very difficult position. It's a very difficult position. I'm going to tell you why. I'm not going to go into the story for much. But on this side, I have a very small amount of kneecap. So many, many years ago, I was playing hockey. And a guy came and he hit me with a hockey stick. And he disintegrated my patella, my kneecap. So when you look at my knees when I have shorts on, you will see like quite a big cut here. And so for me, it's always a difficult thing. There's not really any cartilage. It's not really cartilage and it just looks weird. It's built up. So when I stand on my knees, it's really a very uncomfortable and it just feels, I feel vulnerable. And I felt God say to me that for each of us here this morning, you might not have a knee that is second grade, in a sense, if you catch what I'm saying. But the position of standing on our knees is always going to be a vulnerable position. It's always going to be a position that causes us to approach God differently than whether we lie down, whether we stand up, and that's important to God. And so this morning, before I get into it, I want us to position ourselves. We might be sitting in our chairs, but we might be lying down in our hearts. Another preach, another Sunday, thinking about the stew that's in the oven. I know for me, my wife has, since yesterday, already been cooking a stew. So all the morning while I'm lying on, I'm like, oh, I just smell meat. And these things, they catch our attention. But right now, right in this moment, I want us to position our hearts to have the right attention. So just where you're at, just right there. Don't just want to close your eyes. God, and I pray for us this morning as a family. God, that you will come and you will receive the honor and the glory that you are due. I pray for every heart, God. That we would come to you this morning humbly, open, vulnerable. God, you resist the proud, but you give grace to the humble. And so I pray for every heart that's here, God. That this morning that we can approach you with a humble heart. We can approach you this morning, God, knowing that you are good. You are good above everything that we know. You know, that sometimes when you stand up here and you've got this mic in your hand, it feels like it's so easy just to say something. And I know that's not necessarily always something that when we're sitting in the chairs that one expects or that one is asking for. But when standing up here, you feel this compelling that, you know, you want to kind of break the awkwardness. That people is pulling from you that you have to say something. But something, church, that I want us to know is that we're not going to build with horses and chariots and good preaching and great worship. And that's not how we build. We build with the Spirit of God. And that's all that matters. Even here this morning, the Spirit of God working in our hearts is the thing that matters. And that's, for me, that's so beautiful that, and I appreciate it. The fact that this morning we wanted to go, we were ready. We were like, okay, we're ready to worship now. And all of a sudden, the music is just not working. And that's great. It's awesome. If it happens every Sunday, it's probably not going to be as awesome. But in that moment, it actually revealed inside of us why we are really here. We came face to face in that moment of what we are doing and why we are doing it. And we had a choice. And man, it was so beautiful to start seeing people like just lifting up their hands, people pressing in. Because I believe that's what it should be. And this morning, like I said, I really believe that God wants to come and give us a greater capacity to love Him. See, the thing is, there's nothing that we have inside of us that is able to love Him. Nothing. I'm sorry to offend you. But you're not as good as you think you are. Even for myself. That's why I'm like wrestling with this in God. Because people might look at me and go, yo, he's passionate. And he's... But even in myself, I'm finding these places in my heart where I'm struggling to love God. Where I'm struggling to relinquish control. Where I'm struggling to just give over to Him and say, God, come and you do the work. And this morning, I really feel for us as a church, as a family, that we need to come before God and say, God, help me. Teach me, show me what it is to love you. Because He doesn't want to just want to show you. No, no, no. In fact, He wants to give you everything that you need in order to love Him fully. That's why He can say something like, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your soul. It's because He gives us everything we need in order to be faithful. In order to love Him. Because in that place of where we really love Him, we find life. Last week, we just quickly spoke about the fact that most religions, that most things out there is saying to you, you first need to be good, and when you've been good enough, then you can receive. Amen. Some of you remember that. So it's like you first need to be justified before you can be, or sanctified before you can be justified to do something. Where with God, God is coming and saying, look, you don't have to justify yourself. In fact, you cannot justify yourself. The only one that can justify you is Jesus Christ. And in that place, we take hold of it. And in taking hold of Him, in Jesus justifying us, in Jesus paying that price for our lives, making us, bringing us into a right standing with God. In that place, we start walking out this process of where He's cutting away, where He's sanctifying us through through the process. Amen? If an Afrikaans guy can understand those words, you should be okay. Okay. God doesn't want us to first attain a level of goodness before we can be acceptable to Him. He makes us acceptable. And in that place, He empowers us and He gives us everything we need to walk out this walk with Him. We are accepted by God first, just as we are, in order that God may make us what He wants us to be. Now, we get saved, we start living this life. And the thing that we're proving to God, the way we love Him, is by starting to do. And so we start working at this. We start coming to church and we serve in the coffee team, we serve in the band, we serve on AV. I know for me, that's how I did it. I got saved, and in getting saved, I found anything and anywhere I could give my hands to. Because I want to show God that I love Him. And I start working this thing up. And there's nothing bad with it. The way we show our love to God is by doing things for God and being faithful with those things that we are doing for God. But that in itself is not how we show God that we love Him. Because church, I want to say to you this morning that you cannot prove to God that you love Him. You cannot prove it. Because the place where we started off from is something that He's always been doing. We didn't save ourselves. We weren't good enough. We didn't pay for our own sins. Jesus did. A couple of weeks ago, Rodney spoke to us about receiving. Saying we need to learn to receive. And I've always been of this mind, or this thought has always been in my heart, is that in order for you to truly be able to give, you first need to learn how to receive. Because otherwise our giving just becomes something of a trying to prove something, now God says that we need to be cheerful givers in everything. It doesn't say that we need to be cheerful givers so that we can show that we have received. No, we just need to give. Why? Because we have already received. Because we've received the thing that matters, salvation. Does that make sense? And out of receiving, out of that place, out of receiving our salvation, receiving Jesus and everything that He's paid for, out of that place, there's a cheerful giving that comes out of us. Because I know that I can give. Even when I am in a time when it's financially tight, I can give. And when it's in a time when I feel like I don't have much to give, I can give. Why? Because nothing that really matters can be taken away from me. Does that make sense? And I believe for us as a church that we're really good at giving. It's so good to have Mike Rooney here. He's a really nice guy. If you would ask Mike Rooney, I know Mike Rooney doesn't want me to talk about him, but if you would ask Mike Rooney, Mike, how does EdgeMead AM serve in terms of gatherings, in terms of Next Gen, in terms of just all the events? He's going to give you really like a golden sticker. Hey, Mike, 10 out of 10. We are a congregation that serve like killers. I mean, we're like really, we are the Man United. I'm joking. Go. We are the cheetahs of the curry cow. I'm losing you. No, we serve. We do well. When people come to our congregation, we've got a, for the visitors that's here this morning, they get a little pamphlet that says, how was your experience with us as a church? What stood out? What was one of the things that stood out? The people are friendly. The people greet me. The people just, they receive us. When we have guys visiting us, like we did here this morning, we make sure that they are well looked after. We give them free coffee. We do whatever we need to make sure that they are good. That is a testimony. It's a testimony of the love of God that's working in us. And through that, we are serving. We are showing God that we are loving Him. That's a good thing. But it's not the only thing. That's just one side of the coin. In 1 John 3, verse 18, it says, little children, let us not love in word or talk. Church, we don't just love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. For us here, I believe we are doing well in serving. We're doing well in loving and showing our love. Indeed. But I believe that there's a part of where we need to show our love in truth. And that is something that God wants to come and add to us. And so this morning, I feel like God is saying, stop. Stop the train. I don't just feel like it's a gentle stop. But it's like, whoa, 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 whoa. 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 I don't need you to do anything. I love you. Whoa, 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 whoa. Whoa, I love you. I really, really love you. You are beautiful to me. I have given everything I have, my only son, for you. I love you. Stop. You don't have to work for it. You don't have to repay it. You don't have to look a certain way. Stop. Stop. Just receive it. Just receive my love this morning. I want to say to you this morning that if you feel at any moment in time something is resonating in your heart, don't feel like you can't respond. If it feels like you just need to close your eyes, close your eyes. If it feels like you just need to go on your knees, go on your knees. But this morning, I want you to know that God wants you to receive. He doesn't want you to understand necessarily. He will make you understand through His Holy Spirit. He doesn't want you to work things out. He doesn't want you to earn something. He doesn't want you to even come with, hey, I know my Bible, or I do. Like, He just wants you to receive. He just wants you to go, yes, God. Thank you, God. In Revelations 2, we see where God speaks to the church of Ephesus. And it's basically a church just like us. He says, I know your works, your toil, and your patient endurance. I know, and how you cannot bear with those who are evil. But have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and found them to be false. I know that you are enduringly, patiently, and bearing up for my name's sake. And you have not grown weary. He's like saying, you've done so well. He's commending the church for how good they have been, how they've been persevering, how they've been enduring whatever they need to face. How have they been giving themselves? He says, but I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first. So we see the same picture. We see a church that is serving, a church that is loving, the church that is doing what it needs to do, a church that is active. The crazy thing about this church is, in Acts, we read of the same church. Paul was with that church like 2 to 3 years that he was in this church. And man, the things that they saw, the things that Paul accomplished in that time. Bass just, this is going to be gross for many people. Bass just, no, it's fine, it's fine. Bass just blew his nose on this. And so in Acts, we read the scripture. We read the scripture where Paul is, where it says of Paul that even the handkerchief that he touched, or the thing that the garment that he touched, that as people would take that thing, I'm not going to do this to anyone else, and they would touch someone else with that same garment, there would be healings. There would be miraculous works that break out just because of the handkerchief. Not that one though. This church was a church that was active. It's a church that was, they were seeing the things of God, the kingdom of God being manifested. And in the midst of all these things, the one thing that got lost was their love. The love that they had for God. In my own life, I can see that happening. It's where I'm so busy with church and people that I end up losing that place of just loving Him. Church, I want to say to you this morning that God is wanting to give you capacity. Capacity to love Him. Capacity to love Him. Capacity to know Him. Because physically and naturally we don't have it. And unless He comes and He brings in us and He opens up in us that capacity, we won't be able to know Him. No matter how hard we search the scriptures, no matter what we do, no matter if we stick our heads in the sand and pray for days and days and days on end, if it's not God that's doing the work, it's not going to avail to anything. And that is both a beautiful thing, but a very scary thing as well. And that's where I'm feeling like God is saying to us, stop. Stop. Can't do it. Even as I'm standing in front of you this morning, there's going to be no change in your life that's going to happen from the words that I give you. But if the Spirit of God takes my stupid Afrikaans, Engels, Minglish kind of words, and He breathes life on them, and they penetrate your heart. Man, the things that He'll be able to do in us. But it's Him doing it. It's His Spirit. It's not the horses and the chariots, the preaching, the PowerPoint. It's Him. And that's what we've got to trust for this morning. So I want to, sure. I want to quickly get us to verse 5. Because I believe that's where the key to this is for us. It says, remember therefore where you have from where you have fallen. Repent and do the works you did at first. If not, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. So the first thing I want to point us to us, out to us, is that word, remember. Remember. Remember, remember where you have come from. Remember where God has taken you out of. And just to say to you that in this, that for me, it's been the thing that's been at the forefront of my mind, is where God has taken me out from. So Rodney has been here with us, and he's prophesied over many of us, and it's been good. It's been challenging. It's been giving us things to work on. And that is good. Because if we just water that stands still the whole time, the water becomes stale. But this water is being worked and it needs to flow. And for it to flow, we need to work on it. One of the words that Rodney gave me is, Rian, remember. Remember where you've been taken from. And I, to some degree, felt it as like a serious rebuke from God. And I believe it's for us as a church that we need to remember. In Ephesians 1, 2, verse 1 to 5, you don't need to put it up there. It says this, and you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind. And we were by nature born. So it's not saying born, but we were by nature. We were born into this. We were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. It's like that's where we all came from. Not one of us was spared from that. No matter whether you were born in the most beautiful of hospitals, birthing hotels, or whether you were born on the side of the road, in the bush. Doesn't matter. All of us were born into sin. Not one of us are good enough. Who is good enough? Even that statement, not good enough. Verse 4. But God. See, he's not just saying remember where you come from, just so that to highlight to us that we are dead. But the place where we come from is not the place where we are now. And remembering where we came from is also highlighting to us what brought us to now. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. It's nothing in this walk, nothing in this thing that we're doing that comes from us. It's the but God. And we need to remind ourselves of that. Because in the way that we love God, that's the thing that's going to come to the forefront very quickly. Whether we understand that loving God is something that we can accomplish, or whether loving God is something that He's done inside of us. Does that make sense? Number two. Repent. Just remember, therefore, where you have fallen. from where you have fallen. Comma point. Repent and do the works you did at first. What does that mean? What does that mean? It means that for all of us, that if we have let go of our first love, that there needs to be an acknowledgement of that thing in our hearts. Then we need to realize, like, man, I have actually just been trying to work this out in my own strength. I have been trying to just accomplish this with all the effort and the might that I have and the understanding that I have and the intellectual capacity that I have. But it's not something that we could have worked out in our own strength, in our own capacity, in our own intellectuality. It's something that God did from the beginning. And now He's saying, hey, stop. Don't take it upon yourself. Let me do it. Hebrews 4 verse 16 says this. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. In some of the other translations, it actually says, we may come near then with freedom to the throne of grace that we may receive kindness and find grace for the seasonable help. Man, there's something in that. Of where we realize, like, this walk that we need to walk, this life with God, that there's not necessarily a working at it and a forcing ourselves the whole time. And man, I'm not feeding, I'm not hearing God, I'm just going to power on, I'm just going to work until we come to that place of where we completely burned out. But the thing that we've been working in is the flesh. And so if we're going to work in the flesh, the thing that we're going to reap is going to be the flesh. But God actually wants us to be in that place where we can just go, okay, thank you, God. Thank you that you love me. Thank you, God, that your love that you give to me is not something that I've earned. Not something that I can lose. It's something that you gave. I love you, God. And out of that place, we stand up and we do our work, we do our worship, we do our preaching, we do our washing the dishes, we do our loving our neighbor, we do our loving our wives, we do our relationships from that place of, oh God, I thank you that you loved me first. I'm not earning your love. No, in fact, I'm just spreading your love from where I find my own deposit. I'm not trying to find more for myself. I'm trying to take the more that I have in me and share it with everyone else. Do you guys understand what I'm saying? It's as much as God is coming today and enlarging our capacity to love. It's not that that capacity has not been there. It's just we've been not aware of that capacity. We've been saying, man, I'm running on empty. I'm running on empty. Help, please. I'm running. I don't have enough. Okay, let me quickly do this. Let me pray for this person. Oh, please, God, would you come? Would you bring healing to this person? But actually, what I'm praying in my heart is, God, please see me. I need your love. Please see me. And I'm running to this thing and I'm serving you and I'm smiling. Hey, guys, how are you doing? But actually, in my heart, the prayer that is bursting from my heart is, God, I need your help. Please see me. See what I'm doing. Look at me. I need your love. And God is saying, no, stop. I love you. Stop. I love you. I see you. I hear you. Just stop. Does God want us to pray for people? Does God want us to serve His church? Yes. But it's not from that place of where we're crying out. It's from a place of where we receive. And having received. And this brings me to my last point. And do the works you did at first. It's for us to return. To return to the things. That day when you got saved. The day when God just came and He blew the top off. And your eyes were opened. And you were in that space of just saying, God, I don't care about anything on this face of the earth. I just want You. Can you guys remember that day? For me, I feel like it's like I'm remembering that day. And I'm saying, God, please remind me more, because I realize I'm forgetting about that day where my love for Him was so pure. It wasn't distorted by the fleshly efforts that I've come to learn as I've been walking it out. Jude 21 says, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Let's return to that place. One of the things that in this week, Juniper May was struggling and she was a little bit sick. And we were having a couple of forget about it. Forget about that word. We were having nights of where we're just not sleeping because Juniper May has been sick. And so Juniper May is sitting in Helen's arms and she took her to go lie down. And in that moment, I realized I haven't prayed for Juniper May. I didn't ask God to heal her. I didn't pray for healing. And I was like, for a moment or two, almost questioning in my own heart whether I should pray for her. Which is weird. I'm always someone that prays for someone that's sick. But in that moment, I realized that there's something of the things that I did at first that I've allowed those things to grow cold inside of me and not trust God. And so I said, okay, cool, let us pray. And just prayed for Juniper May. And God spoke to me and said to me, Rian, remember. Repent. Return. I remember when I got saved. There wasn't a person that was safe on the streets. No matter how Afrikaans, no matter how big, no matter how much boer is inside there, I would come for you. I was sworn at, I was shouted at, I was like, doors shut in my face. And although I want to believe that's still inside of me, I realize I've grown cold to that love. I've grown cold to that desire of trusting God for healing. Not because I want to see the healing just here in front of me, but because I know He is worthy. He is able to come and bring healing. And His heart for His people is to accept and receive His healing. That's why I pray. And I felt it like a serious club. So, for us this morning, in 1 John 4 verse 18 to 19 says this: there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out all fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because He first loved us. So maybe if we can just close our eyes. Started off the morning by saying that God wants to come and enlarge our capacity to love Him. And part of the things that's stopping that capacity is things in our own hearts. Things that's part of our makeup, our flesh. Of where we fear disappointment. We fear, even sometimes we fear, what is God really going to ask of us? What is God going to want? Doesn't He already have enough? Is that fear of letting go in our hearts to the things of this world that's holding us back? And it's holding us back. It's that fear of not knowing what lies ahead. This morning, I believe that with everything inside of me, that God is wanting to come and bring healing. He's wanting to come bring healing, emotional healing. Kev felt earlier this morning that there's physical healing that He wants to come and do. But there's a healing, there's a taking away of the fear that keeps us back. The fear that is keeping that perfect love out. And He's wanting to come and take that fear and cast it out with His perfect love.